listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
It's a very special Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. I'm Pod Vader, and I am the commissioner for the annual Superfan Super Mock Draft. Ladies and gentlemen, we do this every year. We've been doing it for quite some time. It was something that we started at ESPN on the Football Today podcast, and it is something that we continue to move forward with here on the Next Fan Up podcast. You can email us, nextfanup@gmail.com, and I'm sure you're going to have a ton of reaction to this experiment. And this is what we do. Since we have 32 super fans, each one will act as the GM of their team. Now, they are not picking the player that they think the GM of their team is going to pick. They are picking the player they want the GM of their team to pick. So they are acting as the GM of their team, and thus we are allowing trades. And there are a couple of trades that do occur here in the first round. So you're definitely going to want to follow along with us, and you can check out our entire mock draft. The super fans are planning on going all the way through to the end of round 7. So they will do every single pick in the mock draft. And you will see that on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU podcast. That is where you'll see the results. We'll have write-ups there as well. And of course, tweet us at NFU podcast. Like I said, I'm sure there's going to be a ton of reaction, and I will guarantee that there's going to be reaction to this pick to start us all off.
With the first pick in the NFL draft,
the Tennessee Titans select Jalen Ramsey, cornerback from Florida State. That's right. Jason is our super fan representing the Tennessee Titans. You have selected a cornerback, which is not something many other mock drafts have going on. Tell me about the pick here, Jason.
Absolutely. The Titans need a tremendous amount of different positions in this year's draft, and obviously in picked a few of those up in free agency, and a lot of people assume, you know, with the signing of Rashad Johnson, that we're not going to end up picking, you know, a corner or safety as he in the draft. But I do believe that Jalen Ramsey will be the pick, and for many reasons. Ultimately, we all know that we took Marcus Mariota last year, and realistically, we need to shore up the defense. And Jalen Ramsey is a major playmaker. A lot of IE experts, as they like to call themselves, say that he is a generational player. The good thing about him is we can start him opposite, you know, immediately corner of Jason McCourty. Ultimately, if one of our safeties go down, we can always play him as safety if needed. But it's hard to pass on a talent such as him at the number one position. You know, a lot of people have us taking, you know, Tunzel at number one. But ultimately, can you tell me in the last 3 or 4 years draft where a tackle that was taken at the top, you know, ultimately end up being the best tackle in that draft?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a strong argument right there.
So realistically, I mean, we do have a right tackle need. You know, Taylor Lewan obviously struggled at times last year at left tackle. We did take him in the first round, you know, a couple years back. It's just hard for me to understand how we're, even with the new general manager, how we're going to end up taking another left tackle, you know, and moving another one to right tackle. So, 'cause if you think about it, currently at this moment, we have a right tackle problem. Just because you draft a left tackle and you move your current left tackle to right tackle, now ultimately you have two people learning a new position, you know, in the first year. So I just don't understand how that immediately helps you. And another argument that can be made of why not to take the left tackle is we have more of a, quote, mobile type quarterback. So, yes, your offensive line makes everything go. But, you know, the good thing about Marcus is he buys you a couple extra seconds all the time. So we can almost get away a little more with, you know, having a average to a little bit above average left tackle. Then what does a superstar left tackle do for us? Yes, again, superstar left tackles are phenomenal, especially in this, you know, in this NFL era. But if we can keep teams from putting points on the board, then that gives my offense a little bit more of an opportunity to obviously, you know, be able to contend in the games. Being realistic, we're not looking at going to the playoffs this year. If we did, that would be, you know, great, obviously. But we're just looking, we're just interested in being, you know, a team again. You know, 6-7 wins would be, you know, a good goal for us this year. And when you think about playmakers, then playmakers, you know, are people that you have to take with that first pick. So my argument in aspect is that. Another general idea of taking Jalen Ramsey is, even though you're never supposed to take a draft pick based on what fans want, and I fully get that, John Robinson is absolutely new at the position as a general manager. He did work with the Patriots as a scouting director at one point. And if you read some on John Robinson, at one time, there's only three people that are allowed in the Patriots draft room when a final decision was made. You know, you got Bill Belichick, and, you know, you have their general manager, and then you had John Robinson. That was the three that were allowed to make those type of picks. And he is very big on bringing people that fans will resonate with. And Jalen Ramsey is actually from Smyrna, Tennessee, which is a 15-minute drive from Nashville where the stadium is. And right now, the fan base alone needs something to be excited about, i.e., maybe Jameis Winston was the best pick for Tampa Bay, but we automatically knew that Jameis Winston would also bring something to that fan base. And how can you say if I picked Jalen Ramsey that it was the wrong pick when ultimately that is what the fans would want? It would be a bigger criticism in the long run if Tunsil didn't turn out correctly than it would be if Jalen Ramsey didn't. So being a first-year GM trying to make a splash, making team get back, people get back on board with the team, it's just hard argument there to find a hometown boy that potentially could be a generational player and not take that pick.
Jason, I love it. You've basically addressed every single troll that will hit you or hit us on Twitter at NFU Podcast. Fantastic analysis of why you made the pick there. Phenomenal. How are you hoping the rest of this draft turns out for you? As you mentioned, you're not a team that's necessarily going into the playoffs next season. So was trading down an option? I'm sure you were looking for trades.
Absolutely. If we're presented with the right option to trade down, I don't see how you can't potentially do that, because obviously with the first pick overall, you're having to take the best player based on what it is for your team. I have heard some rumblings. I mean, we all have, obviously, maybe San Francisco trying to move up. I heard it just even again today with them trying to potentially, you know, trade a couple of their veteran players. The Rams are, you know, always looking to move up. It'd be hard for me to believe that Fisher would want to trade with the Titans, but, you know, always a possibility. And then you got Cleveland out there that obviously, I know they brought in RG3, you know, so you really don't know what they're going to do. I mean, a lot of people like to say they're still going to take a quarterback, but speaking from a Titans fan, we automatically are excited that their owner went to Cleveland and not here. So, obviously, you never know what Cleveland's going to do, but realistically, I do think the best option for the Titans is the draft out of that position, but at the same time, I don't feel like it's going to end up happening, and I feel like they'll end up taking Jalen Ramsey.
So how are you hoping the rest of the draft shakes out for you?
Absolutely. Well, we do have to address our right tackle position without a doubt, and I'm hoping that having the second pick in the second round, I'm hoping that we'll still be able to pull in someone that falls. You know, luckily with New England not having a pick in the first round, it's going to push us up another position. So when you think about that, ultimately we're having the first pick in the second round. So I'm hoping that a good player falls, such as a right tackle. And also we're going to have to address another wide receiver position. Justin Hunter's really not worked out well for us in the long run. You know, traded up for him a few years back. Kendall Wright is in a contract year. Hopefully he can go back to being a slot receiver where he works best at, as long as Green Beckham can step up and be true number one. So we do need to address the wide receiver position. I feel like those positions will be addressed higher in the draft. Luckily, bringing in DeMarco Murray allowed us to be able to push the running back position down a couple of rounds, but we still are going to have to pick a running back somewhere in the draft. I'd like to see a pass-catching running back. We kind of made it through last year with a bunch of guys that honestly should be on the street. And, you know, and luckily we made it work. But Mike Mularkey is a extremely run-oriented type of coach. And we all know that in this league, in this era, that there's only a few running backs that can be true number one running backs. So somewhere in the third or fourth round, you know, in my mind, we're going to have to bring in a running back of some type that can at least take a little bit of pressure off of Murray. I get that he didn't run the ball very much in Philadelphia last year, but we're still talking about a guy 2 years ago that had 300-plus carries. And obviously having having Eddie George in the past have that kind of rushing, I kind of know where that means. So realistically, those are a couple other positions that we're looking for. And obviously we need to bring in another outside linebacker and defensive end somewhere later in the draft as well.
Awesome. That's Jason. He's our Tennessee Titans super fan. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again as the season progresses. Thanks, Jason.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
All right, with the second pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, we have the Cleveland Browns. They're represented by Ben. Ben has selected the quarterback from California, Jared Goff. Ben, Jared Goff and not Carson Wentz. Why did you go with the Goff man?
So for a couple of reasons, actually, one of which is I actually live in the Bay Area now, and I've had the privilege of watching Goff play in person several times, and he always came across as pretty impressive. To me, his poise and especially against Ohio State, you know, just kind of reminded me of Matt Barkley from USC when he was a freshman. And then with Carson Wentz, I literally have never seen him play. He has like an injury history. You know, the competition that he played against in the 1AA, you know, and all that. Like, I understand he has the upside. Jared Goff has played in a pro style offense. You know, against with a really crappy O-line in front of him. And I just think he can make all the throws, poised, and, you know, is also ranked, I believe, as like the best quarterback by Pro Football Focus for like the last like 2 years. So all those reasons.
So even though you now have RG3 on your bench, you're clearly not a believer. He's the answer to your woes.
No, not at all. You know, if anything, you know, recent history has shown anything but, and so, you know, anything that we are going to see RG3 do from now on is like a bonus. I don't know. He hasn't proven anything other than like, he can't stay healthy. He's a bad teammate. And he also, has not been successful other than when he's been running the read option, which I just don't think is a recipe for success.
By the way, I understand all that. I was just trying to be nice. Were you thinking of any other possible players here with the second pick?
Well, I mean, if the Browns like want to fool around and, you know, which they typically tend to do in the draft, you know, Joey Bosa is definitely intriguing. Miles Jack, I could see if they, you know, if they want to do that and they want to try and roll their dice with like Cardale Jones or Paxton Lynch or God forbid Connor Cook later on in the draft. I think those would probably be the other two guys that I could see them go with.
And as the draft continues on, what are some of the other positions you're looking to fill here?
Well, so since we have Ray Farmer out of the building, I think we can finally start to address our wide receiver issue. I think we need to hit that at least twice in the first like four rounds because receiver talent is bare. And right now we kind of have a team full of Smurfs. And with at the wide receiver position, and then with you know, Josh Gordon's situation kind of up in the air with Roger Goodell, you know, kind of doing whatever he wants to do with that case, I think that it has to be like our like next number one target.
All right, Ben, thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Next up in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, we have the San Diego Chargers. They're represented by Ken. He took offensive tackle out of Ole Miss, Laremy Tunsil, many believe to be the true number one player in this draft. I can only assume, Ken, that you are elated that the draft has fallen in this manner.
Oh, absolutely. I was telling the guys before the draft started that I wanted Laremy Tunsil, so I pretty much teleported to the podium as soon as I saw that he was available, and it was a very, very easy choice. He's the best talent in the draft, and the Chargers obviously have a huge need at the offensive line. Although we do have a left tackle currently under contract, he spent a lot of last year on the sideline with an injury. So if we can get a lot offensive tackle that hopefully will be around for 10 years, I can definitely get behind that pick for sure.
Any concerns? You know, we joked and discussed a couple of rumors last week on the podcast about the perhaps use of the marijuana. Any thoughts on the character issues that might stem from Laremy Tunsil's past?
Yeah, not really. I'm not really concerned about that sort of use with NFL players. I'm honestly surprised that more players aren't caught with it, to be honest with you. And so although it is a small red flag, I'll take the best player in the draft with a few character concerns that I'm willing to swallow. if you can protect Phillip Rivers, I don't really care what you do on the weekends or on the weekdays, I should say.
Let's assume that this is not how the actual draft plays out, and it most likely won't be. So Laremy Tunsil won't be available. What was your second choice?
Well, I definitely thought about DeForest Buckner for about a split second because the defensive line last year was pretty atrocious down in San Diego. But I think the Chargers will also probably, if Tunsil's not there, probably give a hard look to Ronnie Stanley, just because protecting Rivers is got to be priority number one for the Chargers. And they swung and missed in free agency getting anyone who could protect up front. I know they were looking hard at the center, Alex Mack, who went to Atlanta, but that didn't work out. So honestly, I think the Chargers are going to hit offensive line at least twice in this draft. I feel pretty strongly about that.
You've now alluded to the next question. Where are some of the other positions you're looking to fill now?
I'd really like to get a center because that is a big position of need ever since Nick Hardman went out. And then just fill some spots on the defense. Maybe go safety to get an Eric Weddle replacement. I know those are big shoes to fill, but we got to address that. And then definitely on the defensive line. I think the place that we're set on defense is with our linebackers. We've got more than just a few that did actually pretty decent job last year. So maybe filling out some secondary, hit the defensive line, maybe go wide receiver. I know that they had issues getting guys off the street last year to play wide out, but I think that's going to be a secondary concern considering we have Phillip Rivers and he can make just about anyone look good out there.
All right, Ken, good job. It's early. Go back to bed.
Good night.
The fourth pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft belongs to the Dallas Cowboys. They are represented by Brian. Brian has selected the defensive end from Ohio State, Joey Bosa. Brian, an interesting choice here. You did not go with the backup quarterback option.
No, and I've been saying all along that backup quarterback can't be a position you take with the fourth pick in the draft. You say interesting pick. I say this is probably the most boring pick that the Cowboys could make at number four, but defensive end is a massive position of need. Greg Hardy just didn't work. It was a dumpster fire after he got there. So we're basically starting from scratch where we were last year. Randy Gregory, I'm still not ready to write him off despite his suspension, but it's clear that defense is where we have to go with the first pick. And with Jalen Ramsey already off the board, to me the obvious pick for the Cowboys had to be Joey Bosa to get somebody in there who can put some pressure on opposing QBs.
All right, so let's go back and visit this quarterback thing. How confident are you that Romo is going to be healthy, ready to go, no concerns about that collarbone?
I mean, obviously there are some concerns. I mean, it's not the first time he's injured the collarbone, and we know there's a level of fragility behind that great offensive line. But if we don't have Tony Romo back there, we're not winning the Super Bowl. And that has to be the first and foremost focus of this team, is winning the Super Bowl. So why spend a pick on a backup quarterback if they're not going to be able to provide any help immediately? Now, possibly we'll address quarterback later on in the draft, but we have a chance to add an impact playmaker right now. We need to take advantage of that because hopefully it'll be the only time we get that opportunity in the draft.
You mentioned your focus has to be on defense. I've seen a ton of other mock drafts that have got Ezekiel Elliott, the running back, in this spot. I honestly don't think that you need a running back, but why don't you address that situation?
I'm with you. I think the guys that we have, McFadden, Dunbar, and bringing in Alfred Morris, is a capable enough group to get the job done. I think Alfred Morris was an underrated signing, and I loved that we brought him in for relatively cheap money. And I think that group can get it done. It would be great to add Ezekiel Elliott or a back of that caliber, but there are too many holes on the defensive side of the ball to pass those up, to pass up an elite playmaker like a Bosa, to take an Ezekiel out, which would be the splashiest pick in the draft and get everybody talking. But we need to look at our immediate needs, and running back just isn't up there with the D-line and with the back end of the secondary.
All right, well, with defense high on your radar, let's see if you stick with that in the later rounds. We'll talk to you a little bit later on. I'm I have a feeling I'm going to be talking to you again, maybe even sooner than I think.
Yeah, I think you might hear from me once or twice before we're done.
The fifth pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft belongs to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their representative is Ryan. He takes the linebacker from UCLA, Miles Jack. Ryan, is this the guy that you were hoping would fall here?
Well, no. The guy I was hoping would fall here is the number one overall pick, apparently, in Jalen Ramsey. That's a guy I was really looking for, but since he went to my biggest rival, we take Miles Jack because he's still an elite defensive player. That's what we need. And I'm still plenty happy getting him. You know, Joey Bosa was taken right before us, so probably might have gone with Bosa as well, but still plenty happy getting Miles Jack at fifth overall.
Defense, really the spot that you need to focus on here? Is that what's going to get you up over this hump?
Yeah, exactly. Because the, you know, the offense is young and ascending with Blake Bortles and two Allens, but defense has still been disappointing even under Gus Bradley, who was a defensive guy. And really, we just need more great players. You know, we're missing the star player on that side. We have some decent players, some pretty good players, and there's been talk about Dave Caldwell, the GM, trading down maybe from this spot, but I don't think that's a good idea because, you know, this isn't 3 years ago where we just needed anybody that could start on the NFL level. Now we have some guys. So right now I would prefer that we get an elite player, and I think that would help much more. And yeah, the defense is certainly in need. And who doesn't like Miles Jack?
What are some of the other defensive positions you're going to look for later on in the draft?
Oh, pass rusher. So that's kind of the, I know I said Jalen Ramsey, I hope falls, but that's just because I think he's great. But we basically have Dante Fowler on the Jaguars, who's coming back from an injury and who's still technically a rookie. And that's pretty much it as far as like a pass rusher on the outside. That's it. So hopefully there's a guy or two that Caldwell likes in some of the later rounds, because I don't know if he's going to get Bosa or he just might surprise somebody by taking some other pass rusher at the top. But pass rusher, pass rusher, pass rusher.
All right, that's Ryan, our Jaguar super fan. Good job, Ryan.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
And with the sixth pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, we have a trade, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's my pleasure to announce that now picking at number six will not be the Baltimore Ravens, but it will be the Los Angeles Rams of St. Louis. Jared is our Superfan. First, before you tell us the pick, Jared, tell us what was the compensation in this trade?
Yeah, so I traded up with Rex. I had to give up obviously my first round pick at 15 and then 2 second round picks this draft, but then I got back a third and a fourth. So it was basically 3 picks for 3 picks, but yeah, I really wanted to move up to get a quarterback since there was one still on the board, especially jump before the 49ers and Eagles.
And that quarterback is Carson Wentz from North Dakota State. Many have Carson as the best quarterback available in this draft, even though he is now going number two after Jared Goff was taken by the Browns at number two. What do you like about Carson here, other than the fact that he's a guy who can throw a ball and your team arguably doesn't have one of those guys?
Yeah, our team definitely doesn't. I think the Rams ranked last in the league in just about every passing category last year. So Nick Foles had, you know, 2 or 3 good games, and then he was completely awful. And Case Keenum is, you know, he's a good backup, try-hard guy, but I don't think he'll ever be a franchise-type quarterback. He's just so small. But, yeah, I like Carson Wentz's size. I like his ability to run NFL offense, to call plays, to call audibles. He's got the size. He's got pretty much everything you could want in a quarterback except for the fact that he played at a really small school. So that's the biggest knock on him. If he went to a big school, he'd probably be the consensus number one overall pick in this year's draft. But because he went to a lower level school, you have that little bit of a worry. You have seen some guys like Joe Flacco and Steve McNair come from smaller schools and have success in the NFL. So I'm not sure if he's a franchise quarterback, but I know for sure the Rams don't have anybody on their roster as a franchise quarterback. So I felt like I just had to pull the trigger and move up to get him. So time will tell if the Rams actually do that in real life. If they're talking a big smoke screen, if they're going to do something like this, because they keep on talking how much they like Case Keenum and how quarterbacks don't mean anything in today's NFL, which frankly really frightens me. I hope that this smoke screen or either that or Jeff Fisher and Les Snead will only be in their jobs for another year or two. But yeah, hopefully if they don't get him, they'll get some sort of quarterback help in this year's draft.
Well, you mentioned that you don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. You better hope he is with a move like this. You gave up quite a bit, and it's not like the Rams, are solid all the way across the board. Where are some of the other holes that need to be filled on your team at this point?
Definitely on offense. I mean, the ones they do need to get a free safety. That's their one hole on defense. Their defense is pretty – they lost a couple of players in free agency, but they made a lot of moves. Yeah, they need a center. I like the rest of their offensive line. They had a good draft last year with Havenstein and Brown. But they need a center, and they definitely need a wide receiver, maybe two. Love Gurley. I think if Gurley could play this great with 8-man boxes and the worst quarterback play in the NFL, like even if you get league average play, I think he'd just – really take off. So I tried to later on in the draft target some moves to solidify center and wide receiver. We're not just like, oh, we're one quarterback away, then we're good. But I think if maybe get a good wide receiver, a good quarterback, this offense will be dramatically better.
All right, Jared, good luck to you. Nice move by getting the quarterback that your team desperately needed. You may have had to give up a little too much for it, but ultimately, you did what you thought was right for your team.
Thanks, Javier. Yeah, normally I'm totally against trading up. I think quarterback's kind of the one exception, though.
All right, at pick number 7, we have the San Francisco 49ers. That is represented by Charlie. He ends up taking the cornerback out of Florida, Vernon Hargraves III. Charlie, I have to assume that you were a little disheartened as you saw Carson Wentz dropping down the board and then the Rams end up trading right in front of you.
Not at all. I was not targeting quarterback in the first round, but great job by Ozzie Newsome, or should we say Ravens Rex, for convincing Jared to pop up, give up a little too much to give a quarterback to get ahead of me. Definitely wasn't targeting that position. My top position was linebacker going for Miles Jack. Then it was secondary help and then going to D-line. So, of course, with the best cover corner, I should say, available in the draft right there at 7, figured it was a perfect shot to go pick up Vernon Hargraves, shore up the secondary along with Tremaine Brock. Now the Niners, who actually one of their best position groups is safety, their second best at this point with Vernon Hargraves and Tremaine Brock would be corner. So, definitely very happy with that pick, and the only thing is just need a whole lot more. So in real life, I'm hoping that they're able to trade back and build up some more picks to fill up some more holes, but no one offered me in our super fan draft to trade back, so I had to stay pat and make that pick there.
Were there any other players that you were considering with this pick, or was Hargraves your number one overall?
Definitely wanted Jack, but he was gone, of course. Hargraves was my number one corner in the draft. When he was still available there, I was shocked, so went for him. Now, a lot of people think that Jalen Ramsey is considered a corner. If you really pop in the tape, he doesn't have the hip fluidity to be a really good man cover corner, more of either a nickel corner or a safety, which is what a lot of people are calling them. So, no, I consider Hargraves the best corner in the draft and a no-brainer to take when he was still there at 7.
Do you think Colin Kaepernick might retire to get out of San Francisco?
Well, I mean, that would make a lot of sense considering last year. No, I don't think he's going to do that. He's not going to pull a DeBrickashaw Ferguson. He is going to stay on. You know, if you had asked me 2 years ago, if it was okay to keep a star quarterback making a lot of money on your roster, I would have said, no, it's not okay. You got to get rid of him. And then the trailblazer that is Robert Griffin III sat the bench in Washington all year long, making $16 million a year. And, oh, that had to affect the Redskins, right? Nope. Playoff berth.
All right, then. The 49ers seem to be chugging along. Sounds like you have a lot of optimism for the coming year.
Of course. Just like all bad teams, we all have optimism in the offseason. The great part about picking at 7 is I know we'll be picking early again next year. We play in a tough division with two just dominant teams. And then, of course, the LA Rams starting to really look very, very good, especially if they do end up getting a quarterback in real life. But it's a two-year project. I think every Niner fan has to look at themselves in the mirror and know that, you know, this is going to take a little while to get turned around. They got to get Harbaugh out of the building. You know, basically all the players that are bought into Harbaugh, including Colin Kaepernick, he might take another year until they're able to get rid of him. Even if his value does diminish, they don't want more egg on their faces in the front office perspective to give him away for nothing right now or like a 6th-round pick. They don't want to do that.
All right. Good job, Charlie. All right. With the 8th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, we have the Philadelphia Eagles. They are represented by James. And James, this was a trade.
Yes, it was initially. The Eagles have pretty much gotten rid of all of the players acquired by Chip Kelly. And part of the trade with Miami was involving swapping first-round picks.
Excellent. And you ended up selecting Ronnie Stanley, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Talk to me about the pick.
Bit of a tricky pick. I knew they weren't going to do anything flashy since, again, Chip Kelly is gone and Howie Roseman's back in charge of the front office. So they're pretty much going to get back to basics, what they did in the Andy Reid era and with the new head coach, Doug Peterson, being a disciple of Andy Reid, starting to build with the Alliance first, offense and defense. And since defense is pretty set and Jason Peters is getting a little long in the tooth, he's only got a couple more years left, I figured this is the most logical pick at that slot, considering that both quarterbacks may be gone in the top 5 and the other offensive lineman on the board tackle would probably be gone within the first 2 picks.
Were there any other players you were considering at this spot?
Strongly considering Ezekiel Elliott, running back from Ohio State, considering that Ryan Matthews is the only running back we currently have on the depth chart with Darren Sproles. And that being a 1-2 combination did give me pause about Elliott, but I figured that after the draft is done, they may go after some cap casualties or some other free agents who may be available in the running back class just for this year, maybe on a 1-year contract, and look at running backs again next year, or they may draft another running back later on in the draft on the back end. But trying to shore up the offensive line, because even in Chip Kelly's scheme with the rotations and the injuries, it was a shambles last year. And that will probably be the first thing that Doug Peterson addresses as far as the offense in this offseason.
What are some of the other positions you hope to fill out later on in the draft?
Interior linemen, particularly guards. I did see that they signed another center that I didn't understand, but they have a plan building from the inside out. Hopefully another wide receiver, if not signing a veteran later on. But pretty much I think the majority of the draft will be offensive heavy, considering the defense is pretty stout as far as talent.
Awesome. By the way, this is James, who was one of our original super fans way back in the day, back in Football Today times. And I believe James was replaced by Mark Sitko, who has taken a leave of us, and now James has replaced Mark. So there's been a replacement of a replacement of a replacement here, James.
Oh, that is interesting. I didn't know that. That's good. I'm glad to be back in the flow of things, though.
Awesome. We're glad to have you. I'm sure we'll talk about the Eagles, and we'll talk with you down the road as the preseason continues.
Absolutely.
With the ninth pick, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Our super fan is Dan. He calls us from across the pond, as we like to say. He has chosen the defensive end from Oklahoma State, Emmanuel Ogba. Dan, tell me a little bit about the defensive end you got here.
Well, we've gone offense in the last two drafts. I don't think we've had one defensive pick. So it's time to turn attention to that side of the ball. And as Warren Sapp always said, the front and the back end work together. And as bad as our secondary is, I think you can cover up the back end if you've got the pressure up front. And we did have 38 sacks last year, but we still can't find a solution at right end. I looked at DeForest Buckner, but I went with Emmanuel Ogba because I think he's more of a prototypical 4-3 right defensive end. He's so powerful. He gets off the ball, and I think he's going to overpower people, get to the quarterback, and he's registered over 10 sacks in his 2 years as a starter there. So I think he'd slot in really nicely next to our three technique, Gerald McCoy.
Excellent. Was there any other position that you were looking forward to?
If Ramsey had fallen to me, I probably would have taken him. But both him and Hargreaves were off the board. Those would have been two considerations. Or if Laramie Tunsil had fallen to me. But he didn't, so I just went with the top player on my board, which was Ogba.
I don't think if Laramie Tunsil falls all the way to the Buccaneers at number nine, there's going to be a problem. I think there'll be riots in the streets amongst the eight other teams that don't pick him.
You don't know. There might be a Lyle Collins situation like last year, hopefully.
Maybe. I don't think so. But you can always keep those fingers crossed. As the draft develops here, where else are you considering to fill some holes?
Like I said, we need to look at the secondary. I just think if you bolster the lines, you can't really go far wrong. I think a compliment to Austin Seferian Jenkins would be nice. And I think with the retirement of your Patriots lineman over there, I think we need to look at the O-line as well.
All right, Dan, good job. And we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Pod.
With the 10th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, we have the New York Giants. They're represented by our Superfan, Sam. He has chosen DeForest Buckner, defensive end out of Oregon. This is the second defensive end in a row. Sam, did you have any interest in Ogba, or was Buckner the guy you were looking for all along?
To be honest, I did not think DeForest Buckner would go this far. Everything I've seen from him points to him going in the top six. He's a three-down defensive lineman. He can play the outside against the run. He can move inside when you're pass rushing. So I was more focused on either a receiver or a cornerback, and it kind of he just started falling. He was too good to pass up at 10.
I have a feeling, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the value in this defensive line class, and I do wonder if that will devalue some of these early round picks and make some of these guys fall a little bit further as teams go, well, I can get a quality defensive lineman a little bit later on in the draft. I don't know if that had anything to do with what our super fans are thinking about, but you do end up with a quality player here who drops, as you mentioned, too good to pass up. And you mentioned some of those other positions that you were looking for. Who are some of the other players you were considering?
Well, I thought that Vernon Hargreaves would be there at 10, but he wasn't. So that kind of threw me for a loop. And then, you know, I was thinking that you need a second wide receiver in today's NFL. So I was looking at Laquon Treadwell, Josh Doctson, Corey Coleman, all those guys. It just seemed that 10, that's a reach. And DeForest Buckner is one of those guys who every scout is saying you can plug in and he'll just be a player there for years. And we don't have the comfort in our defense to make a luxury pick for a wide receiver. So I think it's just whatever position you were picking was going to have to be somebody who you knew was going to be solid. It couldn't be any of these high-risk, high-reward guys.
Were you tempted at all with Ezekiel Elliott still on the board?
I was, honestly. I really, really was, just because he can be a game changer from day one. And if he's really good, he'll be, you know, a focal point of any offense. But the Giants, Running backs are, again, they're devalued. I think they're a commodity. I don't think we need to spend for one. I think Shane Vereen and whoever else we can bring to training camp in the season can be fine. There's bigger fish to fry on this team, so it all really came down to that. But Ezekiel Elliott was really either him or Horace Buckner.
You really had to throw in that Shane Vereen drab. Thanks a lot. All right, Sam, where are some of the other positions? Go ahead.
No, I said Shane Vereen's the kind of guy who, he's not spectacular, but he fills in 80% of what most people can do on, you know, most of the downs in the NFL these days. So, you know, it makes Ezekiel Elliott a little bit of a luxury. If we were in a better position all across the field, I would more readily consider it.
Who are some of the other guys that you're hoping you can get in some of the later rounds?
Well, I'm hoping we can get, you know, some help on offense, a wide receiver or a running back in the later rounds. And then I would like to take a bunch of cornerbacks and hope at least one of them can play, because those are really the three positions that'll, if we can upgrade at those positions, I think it'll be a big help going into next season.
Thanks a lot, Sam. I'm sure we'll talk to you again somewhere down the road.
Sounds good. Thank you.
With the 11th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, the Chicago Bears are up. Tom is their superfan. And I got to say, Tom, you have to be ecstatic that the draft has worked out this way. You are getting Ohio State running back Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. It wasn't really what I anticipated doing. It wasn't what I wanted to do. When my turn came up, there was really only one impact player left on the board, and that was Ezekiel Elliott. And it wasn't an ideal pick for me. The Bears have made it clear that they're okay with the running backs that they have, but they've also made it clear that they're willing to upgrade the position if they see somebody better that they can bring in. So Elliott was a distinct possibility, even with all the needs that they have on defense. I did try to trade out of this pick. I tried to contact teams that needed running backs to see if they wanted to come up and get him, because I really think he's a very good player. But they weren't biting. So I was glad to take him. It was a kind of a value pick for me. But as far as I can tell, Ohio State really rode him last year. And the only game that they lost was a game where they inexplicably cut him out of the game plan. And he complained afterwards. It was well publicized and probably had a case to complain. So we're pretty happy to get him. The guy probably doesn't have the burst of like a Todd Gurley, but he's a real good runner, and he does everything else a lot better than Gurley does. He's got soft hands. He can catch. He can block. He pretty much does it all. He's going to be a weapon for the Bear offense, and that's always welcome. So I was pretty happy with the pick overall.
So you weren't planning on taking Elliott. Sort of fell into your lap. What were you thinking about before the pick was made?
I was thinking defensive line or linebacker. Had any of the elite defensive players dropped to me, I would have been happy to take them. But having said that, I didn't think it very likely that Buckner was going to drop. I thought Miles Jack might make it down to me. But that was really what I was looking to do in this draft, was improve the defense. And, you know, without giving away any specific picks, I was able to do that later in our draft. In particular, defensive linemen were abundant, well into the third round. So overall, I'm pretty happy with the draft and the way it worked out, because I did get quite a bit of defensive help later on.
Tom, I love it when you guys already know what questions I'm going to ask. So you've addressed what you were going to do later on. You're looking at defense. You end up getting a running back. I got to assume that you're happy about that. And great job in the Superfan Super Mock Draft.
Thank you, sir.
With the 12th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, we have the New Orleans Saints. They're represented by Chris. Chris, you have selected the defensive end from Clemson, Shaq Lawson.
Yes, I got to be honest with you. I couldn't be happier about it. I was fielding some trade offers to trade down, but once he fell to me at 12, I canceled all and then ran my pick up to the podium.
Was he the guy you were targeting all along, or were there other guys that you had your eyes on?
There were other guys that I'd be happy with at 12. He's somebody that I actually thought would be taken higher. I kind of figured he'd be gone by New York. A couple other guys, really defensive line is a big need for New Orleans. Really like A'shaun Robinson and Billings were the two that I think I would have had to battle between if I had to, you know, pick between one.
What are some of the other positions in need for the Saints as the draft continues?
Well, we're still the only team in the NFL without a defense. So really any position on that side of the ball is a need at this point. More importantly, linebacker and really just that defensive line. I think we started 5 undrafted free agents last year or had them as a heavy rotation. We really need an infusion of talent there.
Are you perhaps starting to consider a future without Drew Brees?
You know, much like most Saints fans, I think my head's a bit in the sand on that one. We did draft Garrett Grayson last year, so we kind of started that ball moving. But this year in the draft, I think it's too early to take somebody in the first round at that position.
Oh, I agree. It's definitely too early for the first round for the Saints. I am wondering maybe later on, are you perhaps looking at some of these quarterbacks that might be available?
You know, if it was a stronger class, maybe. I'm not the biggest fan of the quarterback class this year. If somebody like Lynch for some reason fell midway through the second, I think you'd have to consider it. But right now, I think they seem pretty happy with Garrett Grayson and his development. And we did just recently sign the kid from Germany as well that had a lot of high praise.
All right. That is Chris. He's our super fan. He applied, by the way. He wrote in his application, nextfanup@gmail.com. And that's where we want you to interact with us. So please send in your questions, your comments. Comment about Shaq Lawson going to the Saints as picked by Chris. nextfanup@gmail.com. Chris, great job. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, buddy, very much.
Okay, now with the 13th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, we have the Miami Dolphins. This is part of that trade that they did with Philadelphia that included a few players. This is a real trade, the real trade that happened, not one of our super fan trades that we mentioned earlier in this show. And with this pick, the 13th pick, Ron has decided to go with the offensive tackle from Michigan State, Jack Conklin. What was your thinking here, Ron?
Honestly, I was really hoping that one of the few defensive players I liked would be there. I was kind of hoping maybe Hargraves would drop, or I really thought that Shaq Lawson was going to be the pick. I did not expect New Orleans to go that route, so it kind of surprised me. And at that point, there was just no defensive player I really wanted at that pick. And even though we have Brandon Albert at left tackle, and it'll be 2 years before we can financially separate with him, we need help at the offensive line. He's getting a little older. And I liked Jack Conklin, so I felt it was good for our team. It served a need. He could even play guard for now because we need help at guard. And he could be possibly the left tackle of the future for the Dolphins, kind of grow with Ryan Tannehill.
Besides those defensive players that you mentioned, was there any other position you were thinking about with this pick?
I mean, it could have gone Reggie Ragland. That would have been probably fourth choice. And I did think about that once Lawson was gone. I did almost consider Ragland. It was really between Conklin and Ragland because we also need linebacker help. But the fear there is that Ragland may not be a three-down linebacker, and that isn't where I wanted to be at the 13th overall pick. I need an every-down player regardless of position. So that's why I went with Conklin.
You mentioned the Lawson pick was a little bit of a surprise. Any thought of trading up to get one of those defensive players?
I honestly did not think about that. If I was going to trade up, I might have gone try to get up ahead of some players and go Ezekiel Elliott, but I decided to just stand pat and really thought, though, I was going to get one of the defensive players I wanted at 13. I was surprised, although I'm not disappointed in the pick. I was just surprised.
All right, I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but I have a feeling I'm going to be talking to you again in this podcast. Just an inkling.
Yes, for sure.
With the 14th pick, we have the Oakland Raiders. They're represented by Monty. You hear him all the time on the weekend shows. Every now and then he shows up on one of my Thursday shows. He has picked linebacker out of Alabama, Reggie Ragland. Monty, tell me a little bit about the linebacker you got.
Well, I mean, every Raiders fan knows you're a little bit worried taking a linebacker out of Alabama since we got burned the last time. But I don't think that Reggie McKenzie and his crew are going to be scared off from the Rolando McClain debacle from a few years back. If I had the skills of a certain sexy king of the superfans, I might have been able to pull off a trade back, try to get a few more picks later on and still end up with Reggie. Supposed to be the top middle linebacker on the board. Raiders just cut their linebacker, so we definitely need someone to fill the spot. He's, you know, all signs point that he's really good at stuffing the run, but he struggles in pass protection. And all you could hear last year on the fantasy shows was start your tight ends against the Raiders. So I don't know if Reggie Ragland is going to help us with that. But it's definitely the biggest need that we have. The Raiders have been kind of killing it in free agency, filling a lot of holes on the defense. So as far as I can tell, if the Raiders can get a starting linebacker that'll be able to contribute this year, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape overall.
Any other positions you're considering here?
Definitely safety. I know that we just brought in Reggie Nelson. Nate Allen should be back from injury. And there's a few safeties that I like on the board. But, I mean, if you look at it and you kind of read on all the different sites, there's kind of a huge drop-off at linebacker after Ragland. And there's, you know, about two or three guys that I like at safety. In a perfect world, the Raiders would be able to trade back and either get Ragland at middle linebacker or one of the top safeties on the board and then just get a few more picks. But I don't know. I think I'd be happy with any of the top few guys at safety to fall to the Raiders in the second round and just shore up the middle linebacker. And we already got burned once. What are the chances that lightning strikes twice with an Alabama middle linebacker that everyone says is the best linebacker on the board?
You know, you really only mentioned two positions, linebacker and safety. This team is starting to look kind of loaded here, Monty.
Yeah, I was just kind of looking at the roster, and, you know, if it's true that this is a very deep defensive tackle draft, I'm hoping the Raiders can pick up a defensive tackle later rounds for, like, a good value pick because they're getting old. That defensive tackle could use some depth. They've got a good offensive line. Menelik Watson will be coming back. He was a second-round draft pick from a couple years ago. He was injured. So they should have a little depth at tackle. They could get a guard, but yeah, I mean, for the first time in a long time, I think the Raiders have a couple of spots they can fill, and boy, all signs are pointing up right now.
Your team's looking kind of pretty.
Yeah, you know, I kind of try to get a hashtag trending stay away Jay because I know what happens to all of your previous boyfriends, but at this point, I think it's time for you to just embrace the dark side and come back to your roots. And if Pod Vader wants on board early, I think there's going to be quite a few people jumping on the Raiders bandwagon this year. Might as well get in early.
I think the Raiders are poised quite a bit for a big jump up this year. I think they are the team to beat in that division. And I will most likely officially tag them my boyfriends a little bit later on this, you know, preseason as we start going division by division. This team looks really good to me. And I think if you end up getting a linebacker to help you out on defense here in the first round, and then, you know, you end up with a safety, you know, maybe in the second or even later rounds that can also be a contributor. This team is, I've said it, this team is poised, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's a war of attrition. We'll see how injuries go. But after free agency, we'll see how the draft goes. I'm feeling pretty, pretty excited going into the year. So, yeah, come on board. Come on board. We'll welcome with open arms. Come to the dark side. It seems right, doesn't it?
No, it feels wrong in all the right reasons. but I do like your Raiders. Monty, good job in the draft, and I'm sure we'll be talking again down the road.
All right. Have a good one, Pod.
At pick number 15, you may remember the Ravens traded with the Los Angeles Rams of St. Louis, and so we have the Baltimore Ravens superfan Rex here to pick. He has selected wide receiver from Ole Miss, Laquon Treadwell. Rex, tell me a little bit. Well, first, before you tell me about the pick, tell me a little bit about trading back, because as I mentioned earlier with our Rams super fan, it does seem to make all the sense in the world for the Ravens to trade backwards.
Yeah, it does make sense, especially since Joey Bosa and Miles Jack were just picked. Had one or both of those players been available, they would have had to blow me away with a trade to not take one of them, especially Miles Jack. I'm in love with that guy. I think he's the best player in the draft. But he was picked one pick before us. So as soon as that happened, I had already had some trade offers on the table, and the Rams offered the best deal. So I jumped at it.
All right. So now tell me about your wide receiver choice here, who is not one of those defensive ends, nor a defender.
Well, I think defensive ends, pass rushers, it's pretty deep in this class. And I sound like a broken record. I say it every year. The Ravens need a receiver. And yes, they spent a first round pick on a receiver last year, but he didn't play a single snap. And we don't know about his problem with his injury issue. So we have Steve Smith coming back, decided not to retire, but this is definitely going to be his last year. And we signed Mike Wallace, but presumably both those players will be gone at the end of this year, and the Ravens will be right back in the same predicament, needing a receiver. So I picked who I think is the best receiver in the draft. Yes, he didn't have a good 40 time. He was already at the combine, but as plenty of scouts will tell you, don't pay attention to stopwatch, pay attention to game tape. And his game tape shows that he's probably the best receiver in the draft and one of the most ferocious blocking receivers to come out in recent memory.
Any other positions you were considering at this point?
At that point, probably the only other position I was considering was a cornerback, but only one or two of them had been taken at the time. So I figured when my picks came around in the second round, because I traded with Los Angeles, I was able to get both their second round picks. And along with mine, that means we had four picks in the top 45. So I figured we would be able to address that. And the fall, in my opinion, the fall off from, say, a Vernon Hargraves to Kendall Fuller or Eli Apple wasn't all that great. But I think a fall off from Laquon Treadwell to a Josh Doctson or a Michael Thomas, I thought it was a greater drop off. So I took who I thought would be the I felt was the smart pick here.
Yeah, you are loaded to bear. And, you know, I don't normally do this, but I am going to mention that pick number 33, which would be the first pick of the second round, you end up trading to acquire that pick to take the cornerback that you mentioned is another position of need.
Do you want me to talk about this?
Yeah, real quick. Go ahead.
Okay. Eli Apple was falling. I expected him to be picked in the first 20, 25 picks. And when he started falling, I was like, uh-oh, hold on. And I knew I had the ammunition. Again, I had three picks in the second round, no picks in the third, but four picks in the fourth. So I had the ammunition to move up, and it's a good thing I did, because after I moved up and acquired him, the two teams that picked behind me both told me that's who they were going to pick. So I thought it was a good move. I got who I think is right there with Vernon Hargraves as the best cover corner in the draft. And then with my first two picks, like I said, I got, my opinion, the best receiver and the best cover corner.
The reason why I broke the rule on this is because you did end up moving up in the second round, taking the second pick, not the first, as I incorrectly stated before. I totally forgot that my team doesn't have a first round pick. But the point is that first pick, now that the draft is split up by days, I feel like there's a lot more value on, you know, with that first pick on the second day of the NFL draft this time around. And the Ravens are a team that I think recognize that. The Patriots are obviously a team that love to try and make that first pick on the second day. And there's a few other teams. The Steelers are usually pretty good at doing stuff like that. I mean, talk to me a little bit about picking early on that second day.
Well, and again, like you said, it's the first pick of the second day, and I treated that like a first-round pick. which is why I got some grief from some of the other super fans. They said you shouldn't have traded your next year's first round pick. But I've seen other teams do it. I've seen it work out. I thought it was the right move. And I addressed that first pick next year, later on in the draft. At least I hope to. And you know, I think it was the right move for the Ravens, because basically, if all goes well, we're giving up a lower mid to late round first round pick next year for, again, the best cover corner in the draft.
All right. Great job, Rex, as always. I look forward to talking to you down the road.
All right, Jason, good luck.
With the 16th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft and the end of part one of our broadcast for this particular experiment, we have the Detroit Lions. They're represented by Will. He has selected the offensive tackle from Indiana, Jason Spriggs. Will, tell me about your pick here.
Well, we're talking about my Lions, and they always have so many needs. I mean, I could have gone with defensive end, defensive line, wide receiver to, you know, help replace Megatron, which really is impossible, but you do what you can. Linebacker. But really, at this point, the Lions offense is going to be about passing. Stafford needs protection. Jim Bob Cooter, he's going to put in a much more aggressive scheme this year now that he has a permanent offensive line coach after firing the ones last season. And Jason Spriggs stood out at the combine. I mean, according to Gil Brandt from NFL.com, Jason Spriggs showed that he's the top prospect in four of the events, should be able to play in the NFL a long time. I mean, 6'6", 306 pounds. The only other, Riley Rice is set at left tackle, but on the right side, they have a guy they picked up from the Chargers middle of last season, and then the other guys that are on the depth chart are all picked up in 2014 and 2015. They're recent. So this is a chance for them to really stand out on that offensive line and find a guy that can anchor the spot for 10 years.
You mentioned wide receiver. Were you a little downtrodden that Laquon Treadwell had gone right before you got a chance to pick?
Exactly. I mean, that would have been the obvious choice to some. My concern would be you bring in a wide receiver, everyone's going to talk about him replacing Calvin Johnson. And the pressure at that role, especially being picked in the first round, might be too much for any college athlete coming out to be able to handle. I was a little relieved because it took the pick out of my hands. I was actually looking for Jack Conklin, the tackle from Michigan State, but he had gone at number 13. And then the only other person that really would fit a need would have been Shaq Lawson at defensive end. He went at number 12 to the Saints. So the plan really is in the second round. I think that's where they can go after the next best wide receiver that's out there. And just like Jason Spriggs is a standout athlete, I'd love to see them go after Braxton Miller, who's raw, but has that ability that obviously if he went to Ohio State, they saw something special, and he could definitely excel at the position.
All right. Well, good job in guessing what questions I was going to ask you next. You filled it all in. glad to have you as a member of the Superfans. You're another one of our newbies who signed up by sending us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. Don't forget that email because you're going to want to use it to write in and complain about Will's pick of Jason Spriggs. So nextfanup@gmail.com. Will, thanks for joining us, and I'm sure I'll talk to you a little bit down the road.
Thanks, Pod. My pleasure to be here.
All right, let's put a bookmark right there. We are at the middle of the first round, and so we will take a pause here for you and remind you that you can check out all of the picks on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU podcast. You can tweet us at NFU podcast. I'm sure you have some reaction to some of the picks that are going on right now. We will post the second half of the first round tomorrow, so you can go and check that out. And obviously, if you're listening to this on a different day, both are available at blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup or on iTunes or on Stitcher. We are on both places. There are plenty of places to listen to us. Hey, podcast awards time. Vote for us in the podcast awards. I would love to win a podcast award with these 32 guys. Go to podcastawards.com to find out how to nominate the Next Fan Up podcast for a podcast award. And with all of that, I will bid you adieu until we begin the second half of the first round. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.